like these
blue play bubblies.
Okay, thank you, committee. We're back in order. I appreciate the break, Mr. Freeman.
You ready?
Yes, we are ready to continue. The time is 3:56, so thank you to everyone.
So Nancy and I put together the Osage Nation Ranch Business Plan. Before we start, I want to commend the last board. That ranch, as far as the grasslands are, is in great shape. And the cattle are in great shape. And there were some positive things done out there. And so they are owed that. And I want to say that up front. There are some areas where there are some loss concerns, and we're taking care of some of those. And that's just management part of that. The Osage Ranch is that, as you guys know, is a 42,300-acre ranch, which we took almost 3,300 acres, and we gave it back to the nation for their buffalo preserve. And so the buffalo have been taken off of the ranches. They never carried those buffalo as assets, but they've been taken away from the ranch as far as us having to take care of them in that form. So we're trying to work with them on a way to help support them in taking care of the buffalo and the CARES Act cattle today. I mean, as we speak. So Nancy's much better at this than I am. So, well, we've sort of looked at our customer segments.
So if you look on page two, we've identified customer segments, and to begin to identify the revenue streams that we could create from the big ranch. Osage Nation Ranch. I call it the big ranch. and that includes beef consumers, game hunters, bird hunters, and then people who are interested in the Osage Nation culture and Native American culture in general. So that's the ecotourism aspect that I was alluding to when we were talking about Lost Creek Ranch. Do we need to do this? There's information here about the competition that we've identified, the key stakeholders. We have these in all of our business plans, by the way. We're following a similar format for all of them. Challenges to the business and risk to the business on the nation's ranch, Osage Nation Ranch, includes, you'll see, climate and other environmental issues, market swings, et cetera. You want to add that one?
We have had a problem with the feedlot. Part of that is management from the point of fact. There are all different types of agriculture. And you can be a good farmer and not be a good rancher. If you're running a dairy farm, it's different than running a cow and calf operation. So that said, the feedlot there's been contention there and between there and the packing house, and we're trying to work that out. So we have taken a fat and we've taken it to a different packing house to have it slaughtered, and so they will grade it for us so that we can understand where our problems are. So then we can come back and maybe start working with the packing house to figure out what our situations are. The past, they've had a problem with overfeeding cattle, so they'll have them there too long, and it's become a big drain on the ranch because the ranch is absorbing all that cost. So we're working on those.
Okay. On the next page, you'll see resources that are required. And the key thing I want to point about this, there are some things that are quite a bit of urgency, such as the water we control, et cetera. But the far right side, you'll see ranch currently has sufficient money to sustain itself, so we're not making any ask with regard to the ON ranch.
Some changes we're trying to make on the ranch, we're still sort of working through it, but we've appropriated some money to get a consultant for that feedlot to help us sort of line out what needs to be there. If we're gonna continue with that feedlot, and we're feeling we're going to, we have recently talked to the casino. We are in the process of communicating with them. It's not a done deal yet, but they will buy our hamburger and our steaks from us to actually run through the casino's restaurants. By doing that, we can actually benefit from that income because we'll have it at all sections. So the cost centers will be three different places for us. So And then, so the ranch manager, and I will tell you that I'm thinking Mike Alexander is doing an excellent job right now of managing that ranch. He does all the day-to-day operations. If things need to be done, he takes care of them. He has a weekly conversation with our CFO, and he and I talk about once a week, and he just brings me up to date of what's going on. So he's doing a great job. Okay.
So on this next page, on page 8, you'll see the revenue streams that we've identified, and there's a number of them in here. This is early days on some of these, but you'll see there's calves, hay operations, feedlot, breeding stock, et cetera. Ecotourism is that one that we're talking about. The last two are the ones that are ecotourism, which includes ATV, equestrian, shooting clays, et cetera. Those are things that we could do at the Owen Ranch, on the large ranch, including also hunting game and fowl and fishing. And that would be could be managed in partnership with High Adventure. The last one, the wing shooting and fishing, especially the wing shooting, could be potentially significant income to the Osage Nation Ranch.
So, are there any questions?
Committee, you have any questions regarding the ranch? Congresswoman Stabler?
I have just a few questions, and tell me if this is something I need to wait for executive on or if it's something I need to wait on financials on. Cattle inventory.
Brad will cover that.
Okay. And you've talked about the beef at the casino. There was a conversation in a meeting where you were in a board meeting where you were explaining the status of the financial of the ranch, and I don't know if this is again for Brad or not, but how it carries, how profits and loss carry forward and stuff. And so is that going to be covered in this presentation or will be in Brad's? Or
I'll just cover it. If we get into detail, Brad and I are already in the process of going through a lot of that. There was a negative retained earnings from 18, 19, 20, and 21. What that means is there was a loss position coming into 18. There was a gain position, I believe, in 19, but it did not absorb the total loss the time before. There was another loss position, and then there was about a $250,000 gain in 2021, I believe it was, net profit. What you have to look at when you start breaking down your income positions and your retained earnings and equity positions is you start tearing them to pieces to figure out where you're gaining or losing money. We have, through subleasing, about a $350,000 a year income, and then through our hunting and sports activity out there, it's been somewhere, in fact, in 2021, I believe it was $150,000. So that's passive income of $550,000. That tells us that there's a problem in the operation area. So when we looked at the income positions in all those years, I started recognizing that our operations have not made the net profit. Part of that, this last year, I believe, has been when the feedlot came on. And we're trying to identify that. But there's been a problem. I actually think so that in our inventory, and we're getting ready to meet with Mike to do a complete inventory of that ranch. I think we're going to see some adjustments within our inventory. I think there's some cattle that were held back that were never booked as capital. And we're going to try to figure that out. So there's just some issues with it's not to blame anyone. There have been some things that have been identified. So I'm an old bank examiner, and I do some forensic accounting. So I tear into things, and I see things that some people just don't see. And that doesn't mean that they've done anything wrong or bad. It just means I look at things differently. So
thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Committee, any more questions regarding the ranch? Congresswoman Lemon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you guys again for being here for this long time. So this, can we talk, I want to talk back up a little bit about you're sending some of your beef that you have that are fat beef, fed out. You've sent them, and they've been on our feedlot. Is that right? And how long are you leaving on the, how long are you having them on the feedlot?
They're about 90 days.
Okay.
These are running over.
Okay. So what do you probably estimate their weight's going to be?
These are around 1,100, I think 1,200 pounds.
Okay. All right. So your consultant, of course, will tell you what you know what the target weight is, but the listening audience may not know what a target weight is. And then you mentioned grade, and a lot of people might not know what that means either, because I'm not trying to be ugly. Some people think that don't really maybe put together how beef gets in the supermarket, how it actually gets there, and what process it has to go through to get there. And so you've sent it to a different packer.
Yeah, well.
Help me understand that.
So we were sending cattle to the packing company. They told us they didn't want any more of our cattle.
We're talking about the butcher house.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I told Mike, I asked him what the problems were. And he was saying that our meat was not meeting the quality that they said they could sell. So this has been ongoing back and forth.
I recall that there wasn't a contract in place either for that, right?
There has not been.
Right.
And so, and the problem before, like in May, there were 35 cattle, I believe, it was 35 or 36, and they were overfed from 11 to 35 days, or it was 36 days, whatever the 35, 36, I've got it all written down. Those cattle were taken to a sale barn, and that's a huge loss for that ranch. And so that's the things that we're trying to get control of. And so what would happen, they'd bring cattle in at the request of the packing house. And I'm not blaming the packing house on this, so please don't take it that way either. I'm saying that there's problems with management in areas. And so we're trying to determine where those problems are. I've never ran a feedlot.
Right.
And so anyway, so I had Mike take one fat to a different packing company.
Okay.
To have it killed, and then we're going to go in, and I have a connection within this packing house. That's the reason we were able to go in there, and I'm going to go in, and they're going to tell me what's wrong, what's right with the meat or wrong with the meat.
So you're going to actually see them what the yield and grade is, and they're going to show you why and how come and where you get to, and then they're going to have another beef in there that's going to be a prime beef, one that's select and one that's choice. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, we've only got one beef.
I understand, okay. But to compare it to the other ones,
yes,
that they have there.
They're going to help us determine if we have problems or concerns, and then we're going to go figure out what we need to do to correct them.
That's why I wanted to talk about the grade, because people are probably like, what is that? You know, some people may not know. Some people may know. At today's climate with the cost of meat, some people might just only be able to afford buy hamburger and barely that at this point, you know? And so the quality of meat, it is, there's differences. We all know that. I mean, we all know that there's certain type of beef that feed out better, just like there's certain type of birds that feed out better. I mean, it's just how it is. It's just, there's science behind it also. So I just wanted to understand that piece of it, and knowing, so you're trying to understand where you guys actually are. And so.
Correct. So then we can go back and correct our problem. And so, so what we're trying to do is determine how this meat is grading, and then what we can do about it. The packer has already told us that because of the heat, yes, it's very, very difficult to get cattle in these feed yards in this climate, which anybody that's lived around here knows these things. That's why you don't see a lot of feedlots here, is the heat. It's very difficult to get a prime grade because the heat of the summer, because the cattle start going backwards on you. They're, even this year, they've had trouble getting choice meat. And so, it might be the climate problem. And if it is, then maybe we're going to have to reevaluate how we handle those kind of things. So we're just trying to take a business approach, step back, determine where our problems are, and then move forward and try to get this thing to where it works out. And then if we're successful working with the casinos, We can take our cull cows and our damaged bulls, and we can run them through. We can actually pull the loins out of those cows, and they would make very good fillets. But we can actually move those through as hamburger and maybe double our value of those cattle, because we're cutting out the sale barn and we're cutting out the other packers and all that place. So we're trying to make this, you know, a three-way deal. And so Byron and Rick and Kim and I met last week, and we talked about several business aspects that we can work together. They have been, I don't know if you realize, but the casino curried these things up here for us. They provide our office for us right now. So we're working closely with them, and they work closely with us to try to benefit the whole deal.
So. Thank you, Mr. Freeman. I just have one more question, and I wasn't present for the prior Commerce meeting. I had something going on, but has your communication improved with the executive branch? Yes or no?
It has been said that we have cut off communication with the executive branch. We did not do that. I have emails to prove it.
I just heard the last, Okay, thank you. So.
Committee, any more questions regarding the ranch? Congressman Keene?
Yeah, so my phone's blowing up. There's someone, obviously I'm not going to say names, but they're saying that the Butcher House requests, I guess, cattle that weigh 1,200, and they always get sent cattle that weigh 800 or 900.
Well, there have been a lot of problems.
Yeah.
There have been issues. It hadn't been just since we took over.
Yeah.
Those issues have been there since the beginning of that time. When I, and I think it was in May or June, I went out to the ranch, and I went through the ranch and the feedlot operation. I then went back over to the packing house and had a long conversation with the two people that run that packing house. Those two people had the same frustrations that the ranch people had. And it was there were cattle being sent that were overfed, there were cattle that were being sent that were underfed. And so that's what we're trying to get control over. And so I hope this is the reason I really wasn't going to come here today and speak to you. I was going to let everybody else handle it. We're not out to harm anybody in this nation. We're not out to point fingers to anyone. We were asked if we would take businesses. We refused them at first. We took them, and then we did the business thing, and we moved forward with them. And we've done the analysis, and we've done what we thought had to be done to make these into profitable entities. And it has caused hard feelings with people that I admire and have had great love for in my life. And it's caused hard feelings. This is nothing personal. I recognize the good that some people do. We did not ask for this ranch. We did not ask for ones. We did what we were asked to do. And you've asked me and my board to do the business thing, and the business thing we did were the things that needed to be done to move this thing. We've tried every way to keep from hurting people's feelings, to keep from letting, we've let people go, to do it with good faith and kindness. It's not easy. I to fire somebody is the hardest thing in the world that I personally can do. I've never fired anyone. The board made all the decisions. In fact, if you'll notice, there's only four of us, which means I never vote. All I can ever do is give my opinion or my advice. And the three, so it's voted and controlled by the board. And so the statements that I can people is not true. These are all been board decisions. And okay. So that said.
Thank you.
So I have a question and maybe just a little bit of education real quick on the meat or the beef that you've been, providing the community, including, our for the dances and things of that nature. So, or the reason you're taking it to be tested, I guess, to find out what grade or whatever it is, are there, I mean, are you saying that there's an issue with your meat?
No. The problem is that we've sent cattle to the packing house, and the packing house might be correct. There might be problems with those cattle, but they take them. So they told us that they didn't want them. Then they called and asked for more to be delivered. And so what we're trying to do is figure out why they feel there's something wrong with our meat. I own the, because of just certain things, the only place I had to go was to a different packing house to get them to butcher. They're going to tell me what's wrong with the meat. Then we've got a consultant. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the meat. They're going to tell us why it's not great.
But that's not what you're saying. You keep saying, I'm going to find out what's wrong with our meat.
I'm going to find out why the packing house feels like our cattle are not what they want.
Okay.
And then we're hiring a consultant on the feedlot that's going to come in. He's going to go with us to look at this carcass. We're going to determine if it grades out select, choice, or prime, and if it's fed out properly. If it's not, we're going back to the feedlot, and we'll accept that it's the problem there, and we'll do the corrections at the feedlot that need to be done to correct it. Is that better?
Congressman Keene.
I guess I'm wondering, why can't our own butcher house have the consultant to do that? Or am I just missing something? No comment. Okay, thank you, sir.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Okay, so I started this conversation. I started down this bunny path, so let me just help. So the word wrong maybe isn't the right word to choose. So when you're looking at any piece of meat, like I said, some people, we take it for granted. It's just at the grocery store, and I walk up to the options there and I need hamburger, so I just go pick hamburger, or I need a steak and I go pick a steak. But when you go to look at those things in the grocery store, you've probably noticed that there's two or three shelves and they'll have your ribeyes there. I'm going to use ribeyes as an example, okay? And you'll see also two or three shelves of hamburger there, and you'll see, well, why does that hamburger cost more than this hamburger down here on the lower shelf? Why does the ribeye on the top shelf cost more than the ribeye on the bottom shelf? It's different grades of meat. It's how they were fed out and how they fattened out and how much marbling is within the actual meat and not on the outsides of the meat. There's other things that go into it too. I'm not a scientist on meat grading. But what happens is a carcass is graded and then it is sold at that grade, which the highest grade is prime. And it can be sold at the higher prices, and the lowest grade is select, and it can be sold at lower prices. And so that's what he's meaning, as in the quality of meat can be ranging, not that there's something wrong with it. And so I'm glad that you pointed that out, because people will be like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with our meat. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just they're trying to get the best yield and grade out of the beef that we are raising on our ranch. And we have beef cattle. That's what we have. We don't have dairy cattle. Dairy cattle, they don't fatten up very well. Very seldom do you ever see a fat dairy cow unless it goes mainly to hamburger. Brahms is a great example. All of their Holstein bulls, they'll feed some of them out for veal. Veal is another piece of is beef that's young, that is fed milk its entire life, and then it's butchered at there's a lot of argument there, but it can be butchered at 6 months. And of course you want it to meet a certain weight, of course, for your yield and your grade to be better with a carcass. So there's a whole lot of scientific stuff that goes behind it, but there's nothing wrong with our meat. It's just we're not meeting a goal that you want to meet for the quality that we're trying to and have a brand out there to say Osage Nation's beef grades out at this, this, and this. Because on top of that, Congresswoman Rivard, you can look at the genetics on what bull they used on certain calves, which Mr. Alexander should have the ability to do, to know that this particular bull is going to throw more fat possibly, or a smaller calf, a bigger calf. Those are all played into parts of science behind DNA. Producing meat and DNA for people. So there's nothing wrong with our meat. Again,
and I appreciate that, because that's not so. Yeah, I'm trying to determine what we can do to better our feedlot. I don't know anything about running feedlots. Feedlot people are totally different. That's a whole different agriculture side of business. And so we are, as a board, trying to determine what needs to be done to better the cattle coming out of our feedlot.
Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
Yeah, just a recommendation to the committee that we've got 40 minutes left scheduled in this meeting. We've got 40 minutes left to go into executive session and discuss the $2.7 million appropriation budget.
Five or six, can you get through it in a few minutes?
I can do it as quickly as you would like.
Okay.
The total appropriation, as you guys have been pointing out, is the $2.7 million. And the quick rundown as to why that ask is exactly what it is. The first ask was for Osage LLC. And if you'll look on page 3 of the handout, specifically the reason it's that amount is we're looking at currently Osage LLC as a roll-up, as a conglomerate, turned in $9.8 million year to date. It's going to do about 11.7 for its full fiscal year. And it's going to have a net income of about $820,000. That is for the current and active operational companies. That's not for the new ones we need to put money into to help start up, like OGS and OIS and some of the things we need to fund. The reason we ask is specifically what it is we're trying to maintain a cash cushion, or an OPEX, operating capital expenditure, of about $1 million. Because as we cycle through the years, that's what we're seeing. Page 3 of that. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, of the financial, of the actual budget request. You guys have, did we get you copies of that?
I think so.
Okay. It's going to have a page 3 that has really pretty scientific blue arrows. With limited time, let me ask, what questions specifically would you guys have, and I'll address those, and then you guys can get to whatever sessions you need to quickly.
I got it.
Committee, do you guys have any questions, or do you want him just to keep presenting?
I'll present this page, and the rest is summarized if you'd like. You've already been through the rest of them individually with the meetings, so truly the ask for Osage LLC is the 787, and the reason is to keep the minimum cash balance to make sure we don't run into cash and financial problems throughout the year so that we're self-sufficient. Based on the projections of where we are currently, only based on the operating companies that we have now, not the future revenues of the ones that have not been funded yet, we expect Osage LLC to be self-sufficient in 3 years. 2025, we would have zero requests because we would be able to maintain our own operations, be able to start paying dividends back to Osage the Nation on a regular basis, and not have to petition Congress for funding for Osage as a whole. Please note page 3 is Osage operations as a whole. That's all entities rolled up into one reporting entity, which is how you're currently structured as a business, where Osage LLC is a holding company. The rest of the ask has already been mentioned. It's detailed on every page behind that, saying this is the ask, this is why. And it also details the budgets of the companies that have no ask this year.
Good. I'll look at the document and look at it.
Okay. Committee, any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay. Say again. Do you guys want to talk about the cattle, the CARES cattle?
We have an executive session for that. That's what it's for.
Okay. Will somebody make a
motion to enter executive session for confidential information?
Proprietary issue.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Hearing none.
Chair, I think just discussion that it is for CARES cattle.
Discussion of CARES cattle?
Mm-hmm. Discussion of CARES cattle.
Okay. Okay, any more discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, Caitlin, can you get us off air for a sec? Thank you.
Did you get a copy of this?
Just now, she handed me one.
Congressman King, did you get that?
We're just going to allot it to 10-minute discussion.
Probably won't take long.
You wrap it up in 10.